Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson Bello.
Started the power of vision, and I will continue that today. To give you a recap of our conversation on purpose, we said if it is purpose, there are three things that it must be for you to call it purpose. The first one is that it must glorify God. Then number two, we said it must impact the world, it must benefit people, and number three, it must benefit me. That's what makes it purpose. If it doesn't glorify God, it's not purpose. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, for thou were created for his pleasure. So if God does not find pleasure and glory in what you're doing, you cannot say that's purpose. You may be productive in life, doesn't mean you are in purpose. You may be prosperous, doesn't mean you are in purpose. Purpose is not prosperity. Purpose is not success. Purpose is not who is popular. Purpose is not who has money. Purpose is not who is a philanthropist. It can be a part of it, but it is not entirely purpose. What makes it purpose first is that it glorifies God. So that glorifying God part has to be sorted out, which we see. He says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So you are not your own. Don't form like you are yours. You are not your own. God has a design before you came on the scene. He has a plan for your life. You know what Paul says? He says, I apprehend that which I was apprehended for. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say that I apprehend that which Christ apprehended me for. I'm pressing towards what Christ caught me for. Let me put it this way. He says, I'm trying to catch or lay hold on what Christ caught me for. Christ caught you, but he caught you because he wants you to catch something. So you are apprehending what you were apprehended for. So you are not your own. Is that Apostle Precious in the house from Lagos? Ah, please, man of God, stand up. Let's celebrate Apostle Precious all the way from Lagos. Great evangelist doing mighty things. God bless you, man of God. So you must understand that. So can we say this together? I apprehend. Yeah, I want us to bring all our energy together. Say, I apprehend what I was apprehended for. So that's what makes it purpose. Purpose doesn't mean that you are educated. You can be educated and out of purpose. So the first matter must be settled, which is the fact that purpose must glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, it's not purpose. Number two, it must impact people. While glorifying God, it must impact people. Talking about the glorifying God aspect, you know now that if you are not born again, if you are not in Christ, you cannot be in purpose. An unbeliever is a bold statement. It's not going to get popular affirmations. I know. A lot of people will disagree with me on what I'm about to say. I know. But I will say it from the standpoint of the Bible. If you're not a believer, you can't be in purpose. Because when you say purpose, there was an intention. That's why it's called purpose. So how can you not be in the one who has called you and designed your future? Because the first thing that we said the destiny of an individual is Christ. That you are to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is true that your life may be purposeful, but doesn't mean you are in purpose. Because to be in purpose means that you are first in Christ. You are first born again. To him who he foreknew, he predestined, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. So if you're a believer, you're already in purpose because God has a design of who you should be like. And the pattern you should be like is Christ. We know that in the kingdom there are no preferred sons. There's only a patterned son in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is not a preferred son. God doesn't prefer Jesus more than he prefers you. I want that to sink into your spirit. Jesus is not a preferred son. Jesus is a patterned son. That everybody who becomes a believer will look like Jesus. That's what this verse is saying. To be conformed to the image of his son. So, you have to be a believer to be in purpose. Secondly, there are specific areas that God wants you to. So your life may be purposeful, but doesn't mean you are in purpose. Only believers truly are in the picture of purpose. Only believers. It's a controversial statement, but it is true. Then secondly, we said that it must benefit people. If you're going to say purpose, it has to benefit people. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. A salt that he's lost, that has lost its taste. It's good for nothing. It says you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but thrown out and trampled underfoot by who? I want you to read it by who now? Everybody say it together with me. By who? By men. So that tells you that man factor is involved in your purpose. Because men must benefit from what you do. If you are useless, it means men don't need you. Chai. You know, my prayer for you is that you are needed. When we come to economy, I will show you that one of the greatest ways to express the economy of God is for you to evaluate your values and your worth so that people see what you are needed for. Everybody is needed for something, but people have not put a good evaluation of what their values and endowments are. So my prayer is that you'll be needed. Okay? Now, it says that they are trampled underfoot by men. Next verse. What does it say? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot what? Cannot be hid. So, you are not just the light to your personal life. Please help me tell your neighbor, you are not a personal light. Ayo, just a little bit. What, you are a public light. So stop forming, I am for myself only. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So you are the light of what? The world. You are not just the light of Abuja. You are the light of the world. Begin to see yourself that way. That the world needs me. You are the light of the world. I'm speaking to people who have a burden for nations here. And I know you are here. As you are listening to me, you're connecting with what I'm saying. Because you know, in a matter of time, nations are going to begin to call you. Your relevance will begin to speak. The Bible says that you will call for a nation, and nations you do not know will come to you. Oof. I'm the light of the world. I think it's Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. I'll come back to this Matthew 4, 5 verse 14. Show me Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. I'm not sure if it's 2 verse 1. Is it 4 verse 1 or 2 verse 1? Show me very quickly. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. Go to verse 2. Let me see. And it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of what? the Lord's house shall be established on what? On the top of what? How many S is in the first mountain? So, no S. But there is S in the second mountain. Now, you are the first mountain. The second mountain, which has S, is the systems of the world. So, look at it. It says, now, in it shall come to pass in the later days that what? Who is the mountain now? Somebody say me. So that's us. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established where? On top of the mountains. So when you look at the seven spheres of influence, politics, government, media, entertainment, education, family, religion, all the seven spheres of engagement of man, that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established on these mountains. That it shall come to pass that the kingdoms of this world shall have become the kingdoms of our God. So it's not a matter of overtake, it's a matter of takeover. That you are coming to establish the dominion of God's kingdom. That's what we're talking about. And this is the TSP vision. To become a leading influence in the current generation, establishing the excellence of God's kingdom in all sectors. So the sectors we're talking about are the mountains. They are called mountains because they are high places. Media in the world right now is a high place. Education right now is a high place. Governance is a high place. Business and industry is a high place. But God has called you as a double agent. That you are diligent and excellent in that sector, but you are also a kingdom agent. Bringing his kingdom in that sector. So when we say, what is ministry? Ministry is not only to hold microphone. Ministry is you being in the educational sector, in that sphere, and you are bringing God's kingdom there. That's ministry. You are getting people saved within the education. You know, Pastor Phil cannot come into all the sectors. Pastors cannot be in all the sectors. But you can be in all the sectors because that's where God has placed you. So everybody is doing ministry. Ask your neighbor, how is ministry? Please give your neighbor an answer. If you lie in the house of God, let's complete this verse. Let's complete this verse. Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all, I thought I was reading about you, and you are quiet. And all nations shall flow to it. Do you know what that means? It says that you are a mountain, but you are established on another mountain. And the Bible now says that nations will flow to you. You missed that. The Bible did not say nations will climb to you. Because if you are a mountain, something is supposed to climb to you. But when it says it flows, it's flowing against a gradient. Because it's not flowing down, but it's flowing up. But nations are flowing to you because you are the light of the world. You are needed by the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are not for your local community alone. You know, if you are this kind of person, I'm just about me, myself, and I. You are a whole lot out of purpose. And don't start when the journey has already gone too far. Don't start when your body is already getting tired. Start from now. Because the Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to what? Wisdom. You just know what to do. That now is the time for me to do this right now. Because I need to engage. The world needs me. I need to comport myself. I need to go through certain trainings. I need to get certain certifications Because the world needs to speak my language. I need to speak their language. But I'm a double agent. I'm a kingdom agent. But I need to speak their language. That's how we're going to take over. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So back to that Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. So it says, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. What again? It says, I like the King James. It says, not do men. It emphasizes men. Not do men. Okay? Neither do men light a candle. So it's talking about men. You can't say you are a believer and men are not involved in your life. When we say men, we don't talk about Christians only. We're talking about unbelievers. Because you must have a good spread. God doesn't want the 12 o'clock Christian. What's the 12 o'clock Christian? You know the 12 o'clock Christian? 12 o'clock, the short hand and the long hand, all of them, they are facing towards heaven. Heavenly rays. I don't like that. I don't go tire part. Yes, I remember the song. This world is not my own. If you don't know this song, you are younger than... You are maybe a Gen Z. If you don't know this song that I just sang. This world is not my own. I'm just... You know those kind of people? They don't care about anything in the world. Anything in the world is not their business. Heaven is my goal. Heaven is not a goal. You already made heaven before you started your Christian race. Let me rephrase. As you started your Christian race, you already made heaven. So heaven is not a goal. Heaven is a destination. Heaven, not even just a destination. It's a sure destination. So you are not in doubt that you are missing heaven. So how can heaven be your goal? If not, why is it that when you got saved, God didn't say, okay, come up. Why didn't he take you to heaven the moment you got born again? He left you here for a reason. And one of the things Jesus said to the disciples is, occupy till I come. So you can't be a 12 o'clock Christian. Two hands up. No, 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 no. Then you can't also be a 6:30 Christian. Two hands are down. Short hand is down. Long hand is down. You have no business with anything that has to do with God's kingdom. You're not involved in anything that has to do with God's kingdom. All you do is your work, yourself, your business, and you, the world, your engagement. Church, you don't care about. God, you don't care about. His kingdom, you don't care about. You are a 6:30 Christian. Yes, you will go to heaven, but you will miss a lot of rewards. Things that could have been cheaply yours. Cheaply, cheaply. Cheaply yours. My dad told me one day, he said, there is no sin in heaven, but for the lack of a better term, there is shame in heaven. Because you will see people who were just like you, who engaged in certain things while they were in the body. They gave their lives to the work of God. And you see their glorification with all the stars on their crown. Except you don't believe this thing. Let's just tell ourselves the truth. Do you believe this? If you don't believe it, let's know where you are. But if you believe that you will go to heaven one day, and the heaven you are going to one day, people will be rewarded, then you better take your heaven eternal consequence seriously. So the little things you do for God, these things will be rewarded. Don't let anybody deceive you. A lot of us are looking for thank you, waiting for thank you, waiting for people who will see you. Serve God and make sure you are serving God from your heart. Let me tell you something. You cannot listen to these teachings and the word of God and not give your heart to God in one way or the other, to which your time and opportunity allows you. Pastor Ike was asking me a question one day. He said, is there a point you get to that you become so wealthy, busy, engaged, that you will not have time for God? I said, it is possible, but it's also not possible. Because the people who are very busy, who are the so-called I don't have time for God, they have time to cheat on their wives. They have time to play golf. And you know, it takes more effort and creativity to cheat. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We all don't know. In Jesus' name, we don't know. Good men don't cheat on their wives. We stay focused. Somebody say amen. But what they told me is that you need to be very creative. You need to be a good planner so that two phone calls will not clash. Text messages will not be coming at the time where they are not supposed to come. May God, anybody who has side chick here and you are married, I don't even know what to release right now. But I release something that will make you go back to your wife and stop you from cheating. So, they are very wealthy, very engaged, but they have time to cheat. They have time to play golf. They have time to play squash. And you tell me you don't have time to serve God, you are deceiving yourself. Because there must be an opportunity to serve God one way or the other. You may not be physically present because you're probably out of town, always flying on your private jet. Sharp man. But the moments of opportunity, you don't miss it. You are connected. You are involved. You have a phone. You're always watching. You're always following up. So don't let anybody deceive you, because these things will be rewarded. I was telling someone yesterday. I said, you will not be 27 again. You won't be 25 again. So do you think you have another opportunity as a 25-year-old man or woman to serve God? Serve God with the 25-year-old version of you. Let the 30-year-old version of you that you are now serve God, because you are not going to have another opportunity. You know, a lot of us are just waiting for a grand moment of service. I see myself serving in America, in Lakewood. That's the kind of church I want to serve. My dear, wake up. You are in TSP here. And this is a great house to serve. Because what other place would you serve where you're hearing the gospel? Where? I'm not comparing. God forbid. No, I'm not comparing. There are other great places to be. But God has also blessed us in this house. We must value what we have. If you're a member of this church, be proud to be a member of this church. At least let people know that your pastor can teach well. Eh? That the gospel is being taught here. Praise God. Thank you. Because there's something about that extra hallelujah. Praise God. So it says, neither do men lift a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So it must benefit everybody. Thirdly, we said it will benefit you. The parable of the talent. What did the master say? The master said to the guy who multiplied his own from 5 to 10 and from 2 to 4, he said, enter into the joy of thy Lord. So it will benefit you. To benefit you. Your mother can't own a poultry and you guys are looking for eggs in the morning to fry. When there are so many eggs, how can you be a channel where water is passing through and you are dry? This thing will benefit you. You will be blessed by it. So that's why I want everybody to engage in their purpose, in their calling. The oldest person amongst all of us here may not be more than 60. I don't know. But I don't want any of us to walk to 50 or 60. Because the pain of the elderly is regret. See, don't get there to find out. That's why when the Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In the days, and so that when you have passed that age, you will not be telling yourself, oh, I don't have pleasure in this thing anymore. Yes, you don't have pleasure in it, but you don't have the strength as you did in your youth to do what you should do now or at that time. So talking about vision, let's go to vision. We said vision will contrast. First of all, what is vision? Vision is the ability to see beyond your eyes. That's vision. And when you call it vision also, you are saying that it will contrast your present reality. Elements of vision, number one, I'm going to give you so many, so write it down. Elements of vision. Number one, it will contrast your present reality. God told the children of Israel that they are called to a land flowing with milk and honey. But where those guys were was pain. Listen to me. There are some of you God has spoken to. What he has told you you will be and you will do has no resemblance with where you are right now. In fact, you can't connect the dots. That's a proof that it's vision. That's a proof that it's God who is talking to you. Because if you can do it by yourself, you don't need God to achieve that. But if you need God to help you deliver this kind of mandate that is so heavy, then that's a proof that it's God. So let's see Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. Start from verse 1, then I'll go to verse 17. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land. Who spoke to Moses? The Lord. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. If God said it, you heard what Audacity said. You said it, I believe it. You said it, it is done. So the moment God says it, he does it. So see what he says. Which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man. Everyone, a leader among you. So there are 12 tribes of Israel. So how many spies? 12 spies. So let's go to verse 17 now. If you can use the Living Bible, I would appreciate it for clarity. Verse 17, the Living Bible, very quickly. Moses sent them out with these instructions. Go northward into the hill country of the Negev. Next verse. And see what the land is like. See also what the people are like who live there, whether they are strong or weak, many or few. Did God already promise he will give these people? Yes. Verse 19. And whether the land is fertile or not, and what cities there are, and whether they are villages or are fortified. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are many trees, don't be afraid, and bring back some samples of the crops you see. The first of the grapes were being harvested at that time. So bring some samples, let's see. So they spied out the land all the way from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob. Next verse. Going northward, they passed through the Negev and arrived at Hebron. There they saw the Ahimanites. Blah, 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 blah. Next verse. Then they came to what is now known as the Valley of Eshcol, where they cut down a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. The grapes they found on this land, it was big in clusters together that it took two men to hang a pole, one carry on this side, another fruits, grapes. You know, when God begins to bring your blessings and they need to carry it, and God is orchestrating people to carry it. Some of you are going to receive certain things in Ghana must goes. If you understand, you understand. If you've never torn rubber before, you will tear your own rubber. You understand what I'm saying? So that's just by the side. So let's keep going. Next verse. The Israelites named the valley Eshkol at the time, meaning what? Cluster. Because of the cluster of grapes they found. After 40 days of exploration, how many days? 40 days. They returned from their tour. Next verse. They made their report to Moses, Aaron, and all the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, and they showed the fruit they had brought with them. This was their report. We arrived in the land you sent us to see. And it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some fruit we have brought as proof. But the people living there are powerful. And their cities are fortified and very large. And what's more, we saw Anakim, giants there. The Amalekites live in the south, while in the hill country, they are the Hittites and all of those people. Next verse. But Caleb reassured. Now switch to the King James Version. I have a problem with these guys. God called 12 people. And these guys started to talk. Firstly, they talked about the proof. The land is good. But they now ended the conversation with but. If you remember, it says, but the people are too strong for us. If God is telling you to do something, He has given you proof of your ability to achieve it by previous testimonies. They may not be as big as the one you are about to do now. But let those small testimonies be your incentives to believe that what God has said is possible. I still have a problem with them. How can God, these same guys, part Red Sea for them? God did everything to deliver them from Egypt. And it was these same people who said that these giants are too strong. Giants and God, who do you fear more? Those giants, are they even as strong as Pharaoh's army that pursued them? Not in any way. So it's a big problem. And that is where many of us are. There is a mental block in your spirit. You can't seem to see further than where you are. Because you feel it is not possible. You feel Abuja is choked. You feel the city is already taken. You feel nobody is going to buy your product. You feel nobody will come to your service. You feel nobody is going to, who is going to gather around me? In fact, some of you already feel that people are doing what you are already about to start. So what will make your own different? Just obey God. Obey God. God has been faithful through your life. Because if He tells you something, one of the proof that His vision is, it will contrast your present reality. I told you last week, God came to a man called Gideon. And what was the first thing He said to Gideon? Mighty man of valor, Gideon. Do you know where the angel, first of all, found Gideon? He was under a tree, hiding from the Midianites. The Bible says that he was threshing wheat in a wine press. Because it was going to block the sight of the Midianites to where he was. He didn't want them to see him. That's why he was hiding. He was threshing wheat, but under a blockade. But the angel of God appeared to him and said, you are a mighty man. You know what is happening right now? Some of us don't even have 1 million naira to your name or the 17 accounts you have. None of it is up to 1 million naira. And God now comes to meet you and say, thou billionaire. Some of you have never traveled abroad before. And God comes to you. He says you will lend to nations. Visa you no get. Passport. You never even renew your passport. Because when God talks to you, it will contrast your present reality. That's God for you. So what is left? It is left for you to be able to expand your mind. Ha! Expand your mind. So that when God tells you something, your mind will agree with his word. Because the problem a lot of us are having is that our minds have reduced the word to our experiences. God is saying, I'm calling you to nations and I'm going to release resources to you. You will be a blessing to the world. What you are thinking about is house rent. God, this house rent is my problem. And you cannot see beyond your present. Let me tell you, you will eat on the level of your vision. I don't know if you caught that. The turtle eats from the ground. The giraffe doesn't eat from the ground. The giraffe eats on the level of his vision. So the giraffe eats from the trees because that's where his eyes are. So you eat on the level of your vision. And the level of your vision determines also the level of sacrifice and conviction you have. It also determines the kind of people who follow you. If you think small, small people will follow you. If you think big, big people will follow you. So you eat on the level of your vision. Let's keep going. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. See, I need God to raise people's vision to know that what God has said to them, they can achieve it. Because you said it is done. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. It's possible. As long as it's God who told you, it's possible. But the man who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go. Let me tell you. Now, there were 12 of them, right? Caleb was one man. 10 people were speaking. Most times, the majority will be wrong. I get to what I'm saying. The majority will be wrong. But you might be a lone voice who is doing God's will because of your conviction. Stay with your conviction. Don't follow crowd. Crowd many times is wrong. In fact, do you know why it's called crowd? Because by survey and analysis, the crowd is wired to think in the path of the least resistance. That's the crowd by default. But if you're going to rise above the crowd to the place of leadership, you must be able to think beyond the crowd. So don't be stuck with the crowd. It says, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Next verse. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. It has not devoured you. Why are you saying it devours its inhabitants? You know what a lot of us do? We project a lot. You project your fears into your future. Can I say that again? Don't project your fears into your future. Be bold about your future. Please help me look at your neighbor and say, be bold. Next verse. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in there. It's a big problem. You know, a lot of you can be easily intimidated by greatness. You stand before greatness. And you are intimidated. How do you know that greatness sees you in a certain way? People will see you how you see yourself. So you must see yourself correctly. Let me say this. Vision is not just what you see, but vision is how you see what you see. That's why there is a redemptive side to vision. And the redemptive side to vision is your ability to see what Christ has done for you that gives you value so that you see yourself in a certain way. That's the redemptive side of vision. So when God tells you something, it will scatter your present reality, but keep moving. To cut the long story short, you know what God said? The people who didn't give a bad report, Joshua and Caleb, these two people will go to the promised land. The others who gave a bad report, all of you will die in this promised land. I'm not the one killing you, because that's why I read verse 1 for you. In verse 1, you saw where God was willing to give them. But it was their perception that killed them. Don't let your perception reduce the promises of God in your life because of your fears and your anxiety. So say with me, say, Lord, deliver me from my perceptions. And that's my prayer for you. I want people who would dare to do big things in TSP. This generation is waiting for leaders, waiting for leadership, people who will arise with a God consciousness, knowing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God told me this is what I'm going to do, I believe it. So please, pull out your tent pegs, poise your chariots, strengthen your stakes, because what God wants you to do is possible. It is possible. Don't let anybody lie to you. It's possible. When you start to give the story and the narrative of your life, you would bless a lot of people, because by the time you're talking, you'll be talking from retrospect. And the people you'll be speaking to will be on the level you were 10 years ago. You'll be a sign that God's word is possible. Am I talking to people here? Yeah. You'll be a sign. A lot of you will not look like where you're coming from. It is fact. Because that's how God does stuff. If not, how is he going to take the glory? God doesn't want to take glory over things that he knows you can do by yourself. He will take glory over impossible cases. You know, I was telling them on Wednesday, I said, you may not have been born with a silver spoon, but your children will be born with a silver spoon. Because you will change the order of the day. You will change the narrative. But I need you to begin to see on levels that are bigger than where you are. Because if you don't do it, you can't do business with a small mind. You can't engage the world with a small mind. Let's think global. So tell your neighbor, we global now. You are built for the nations. God does not do local stuff. No. Doesn't do local stuff. God does international stuff. Praise God, somebody. After 40 days, Jesus rose. After 40 days of his resurrection, he spoke to the disciples and told them, occupy, take over all the corners of the earth. And there were 120 of them. These guys were filled with the Holy Ghost. And he gave them an instruction. Go back to Jerusalem. Begin from Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, you spread through Samaria to the ends of the earth. If those disciples, 120 of them, did not have vision in their spirit, they won't go back to Jerusalem. Because you know where Jerusalem is? Jerusalem is where they just killed Jesus. So if my mind is afraid to go back to Jerusalem, I will not go back. But he told them, tarry in Jerusalem. So don't be scared of any place. If God has called you to the international scene, go and dominate. I'll show you the four aspects of vision. Overview. Inward view. Hind view. And then insight, oversight, foresight, and oversight. These are the four aspects of vision. Foresight is your ability to see the future. It's just like using a telescope. You're connecting with the future. You're bringing the future close. That's foresight. Insight is your ability to understand why things are happening the way they are happening. That's insight. It's like using a microscope so you see the fine details of life. You know, someone who has insight knows why certain things are happening. And insight is also the reason why you have motivation in your heart. That's insight. So a man of insight is a man of interpretation. Then hindsight is just like your rear view mirror on the car or in the car. That's hindsight or hind view. The reason why you need hindsight is so that you avoid mistakes of yesterday. Because while you're, even though you are driving forward with your car, you are looking through your windshield, you're also supposed to see the rear view mirror so that you see cars that are coming from behind to avoid accidents. You must be able to see patterns that have played out 5 years ago, 2 years ago. And I told them on Wednesday, don't make mistakes in a point or at a point where it's too late. Make your mistakes early and don't repeat your mistakes. So that's why you need hindsight or hind view. Then overview is your ability to see where you are in the midst of where every other thing is. That's overview. You are able to tell what should be happening in your life now because you have an overview. So it's like viewing life with a helicopter. Foresight, you are looking like it's a telescope. You're bringing the future close. Inward views, like you're looking at the microscope. You are seeing fine details. You're able to interpret situations in life. And then hind views, like you're looking at the rearview mirror. You don't repeat past failures. And then overviews, like you're in a helicopter. You need that view because you need to know where you are. You know, it's when you have that view, you know what you should be doing now. You are like the men of Issachar who understood the times and the seasons. They knew what Israel ought to be doing at this time. You are 25. You know this is what I'm supposed to be doing at 25. You are 19. You know that I'm not supposed to put the horse before the cart. I'm called to prepare right now. It's not the time to jump into activity. So people who have overview don't compare their lives. Because you can see someone in his journey. He's at the evening of his journey. You are at the morning of yours. So you are not under pressure to do what someone else is doing. Because you have overview. Jesus is called to save the world, but he didn't start saving the world at 12. Save the world from 30 and upwards. 12 was preparation. May God give you overview. That you know what to do per season and per time. You are like the men of Issachar who understands the times and the seasons. And I pray for someone here. I don't know who you are, but if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you will not miss your seasons. I speak over your life. Come on, Runo, help me. I decree and declare over your life. You will not miss your time. You will not miss your hour. Jesus, the Bible says, he knew what he was meant to do. Part time, he knew. I don't know what season of your life this is, but you are able to give interpretation of that season. Somebody say hallelujah. As I'm talking, some of you will feel uneasy. Not worried, but uneasy. And the uneasiness is because you know there is something I'm supposed to do now. So you know what I want you to do? Please bow down your heads wherever you are. And I want you to pray a very simple prayer. I say, God, help me that I find and locate your very will for my life. Give me clarity of the very thing you have called me to do and be. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. You're not going to miss your destiny. You're not going to miss the place where God wants you to be. If you will, we have 1 minute to do this. God has built you for greatness. He has called you to do great things, but he will give you the precept upon precept, line upon line of his purpose for your life. Pray. pray. Pray that you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God for your life. Please pray. You're a lady, you're a woman. God wants you to find the very place where you are and to be effective in the season of your life. You're a young man, trusting God for direction, for vision. You're not confused. God wants you to have clarity. Please pray for yourself. That God gives you wisdom and direction. That you walk circumspectly, not as one who is a fool, but as one who is wise, redeeming the times because the days are evil. Please pray. And that in Nigeria, you will take your place and you will rise as a beacon of light and as a beacon of hope in this country. Come on, Paul. That everything God has called you to be and do, you will not miss your opportunity and you will not have to go back to recount lost moments, but you will be able to spot opportunities of your purpose and your vision. You will not miss out in the things that He has called and ordained you to be and do. That you will see your place as a believer, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, expressing and establishing the kingdom of God in your sector. God wants young people today to rise. God wants our generation to be vocal about their faith and about their convictions. But you see, it's going to come effectively when you are diligent in your sector, when you assume the place of leadership in your sector. Now, if you will, if you don't mind, just lay your hands on your neighbor and pray for your neighbor, that your neighbor will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God for his life. That nobody here in this house, hearing the sound of my voice, will be outside of purpose and outside of the calling of God for their lives. And for those who may have feel or who may feel that time is all gone and wasted, the Bible says that He will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten, and He will restore the years the palmerworm has eaten. I breathe upon you right now as you're connected together, as you lay hold of yourselves. I breathe upon you direction, clarity, and conviction. That you know what to do per time and per season. The nations of the earth will see your value. Now loose your hands and lay your hands on your belly and pray for yourself. For out of your bellies will flow rivers of living waters. Decree and declare that in the name of Jesus. God is raising giants in this house. God is raising people who will take over the sectors. Who will take over the systems and the mountains of this world. God is raising giants in our midst. Political giants, business moguls, educational icons, ministerial icons, family examples. God is raising in our midst. Come on, pray for yourself. Let's bring our prayer to a close. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God has prepared you for such a time as this. Are there people who are ready for their generation? I don't know, please, I don't mind if you talk back to me. Are there people who are ready to take their generation? Are there people who are ready to be the salt of the earth? Are there people who are ready to be the light of the world? Are there people who are ready to deliver value to their people? Are there people who are ready to shine as the bright morning star? If you know you are one of them, clap your hands and celebrate the Lord. Give the Lord a hand and give Him praise, give Him glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The sky is so big, I'm going to see everybody at the top. Amen. I don't know if you are in the mood or if you are in the spirit and you can't really say amen, but I need you to say amen right now. I'm going to see you at the top. You would excel. What your hands finds to do, you would prosper in it. Go God will bless the works of your hands. You're the one I'm talking to. Shout amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Are you blessed today?
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.